Good morning and welcome back to Vocation Station. This is Father Alfredo Hernandez, Rector President of St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach. And it is good to be with you on Divine Mercy Radio once more. And we are just beginning our new formation year here at St. Vincent's with record enrollment. We're so grateful for your prayers and your support. And we're going to have a total, with counting all of our seminarians, of 133 seminarians this next year. So please pray for us. We so much appreciate your prayers. And today we have two seminarians, both in what we call the third year of the configuration stage. They're preparing, God willing, to be ordained deacons next April. And they are both seminarians of the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee, Heath Fulmer and Matthias Laywell. Heath, you've got the mic in your hand, so why don't you say a little bit about yourself, your vocation story.
Absolutely. Great to be on here, Father. So my name is Heath Fulmer, and I am a seminarian for the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. My vocation story really comes out of, I would say, a reconversion to the faith. I went to college at Florida State University in our diocese, and I was a very faithful Catholic in my teen years. When I got to Florida State, it was less of what people think, the sort of general stereotype of going to college, of, you know, you get professors who are, you know, against the faith. So it wasn't that that challenged my faith. It was really a crisis of prayer. But in the midst of that, I found I got angry with God. So I left my faith. I just felt like God didn't care about me. And then some radical things happened in my life. And I really felt the Father came after me my junior year of my time at Florida State. And once I heard the Father's voice and I realized, wow, God forgives me for all that I've been doing, all the anger I've had towards him, that I've been his enemy, but he's been seeking me out. I came back to the faith just on fire, in love with God, and I've been following that ever since. I just felt this great sense of, like, Lord, I want to give you my life. And so that has led me to seminary, dangerous prayer to pray, Lord, I want to give you my life, but a beautiful one to make. So I am here. I've been following the Father for years now, and it's led me to seminary and the very exciting prospect of becoming a deacon for the church. So, and to my good friend Matthias, I'm going to pass it.
Wonderful. Matthias, let us know a little about yourself.
All right. My name is Matthias Laywell. I'm also a seminarian for the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. My vocation story really started in high school. I was raised Catholic, but the faith was not something that was very important to me until I got to high school, and I started encountering kind of a crisis of meaning in my life, sort of an existential crisis where I didn't know what I believed, if God was real. It was a very anxious period of time, and kind of through the mentorship of a priest and a nun and a teacher at my high school, learning about theology and philosophy, I came back to the faith and went off to college with some doubts, but still with this firm resolve to be the best Catholic I could be. No plans on priesthood or anything like that. So I went to Florida State University as well with Heath, and got into my faith there, started going to the Catholic Student Union, and really just daydreamed about becoming a priest. Kind of came out of nowhere. I would sit in class and start thinking about, oh, what's married life going to be like? And then next thing I knew, I was thinking, oh, I wonder what priesthood would be like. And that was really strange. I had never thought about that before. And those thoughts kept coming up. So I started meeting with the vocations director for our diocese, who is also at Florida State, and he had been a mentor to me for a while, and he just encouraged me to pray about it. So I kept praying, and the desire for priesthood got stronger and stronger, and I resisted it for a while, but towards the end of college, I was like, I think I'm going to just at least give this a try. So after college, I worked for a year, and then I entered seminary, and thinking, oh, I'll give it 1 year and then I'm out. You know, Lord, I'll give you a shot and then I'm going to go back to normal life. But I haven't felt the call out. I stayed in. And as the further I've gotten in seminary, the more convicted I've become of my vocation and the more excited I become to be ordained a deacon this April.
Thanks be to God. That's beautiful to hear both of your stories. And just as well, for the sake of the audience, I am sitting here with two Seminoles, and I am a Gator for the University of Florida, but it's good to be together. See, God takes all kinds, and but I can definitely relate to that sense of Yeah, you're not really caller ID, are you? and back in my day, caller ID didn't exist, so so I was pretty sure that's got to be a wrong number, but yeah, it's good. It's certainly good to hear your stories and hear that story of perseverance of that Lord, God's perseverance, that God keeps on calling even when, as you were saying, when we might have stepped away, and that when that call to priesthood is there, that he keeps on making it known to us. And so you both have just finished what we call pastoral year. Not all seminaries have that as a regular part of their formation program, but it's been, even as other elements have been added that had time, the bishops of on our board of trustees have said that they want this to continue as a regular part of our formation, which is a whole year out of seminary, working out of being physically on campus, but as a key part of the formation, working in a parish in your diocese. So, Matthias, you've got the mic, so tell us a little about your experience in it, and certainly some of the things that happened there, but also where you were, but how has that helped you as you come back, getting prepared just in a few months to petition for holy orders?
Absolutely. So I was at a parish called St. Dominic Catholic Church in Panama City, not Panama City Beach, two different places. One is a beautiful resort town, and the other is also a beautiful town. But not right next to the beach. So I had an awesome experience at my parish. I came in, I think, at maybe the best time possible. So if you remember back in 2018, Hurricane Michael came through the panhandle and kind of wiped out Panama City, including the parish. Everything was either damaged or destroyed, the church building, the sanctuary. And so
that parish was really a model for responding to a crisis of that sort.
They
did amazing work.
They did a great job. They set up a Catholic Charities distribution station. The priest stayed through the storm and helped day one start cleaning up homes, helping to get to people who were stuck in their homes when no emergency services could get there. So just a great spirit, but a church that was damaged. And over the past few years, the pastor, Father Michael Nixon, has been rebuilding, ramping up outreach and evangelization, rebuilding the physical building. So I came in right when the new community center had just been completed and all these new programs were starting and the staff had been built up and is on board with the mission of the church. And so I got to walk into a place that is on fire and set up again. And it gave me the opportunity to really just plug into any ministry that I wanted. So I could sit here all day and list all the stuff that I did, but prison ministry, faith formation for children, helping out with our big events, planning liturgies, visiting the sick, visiting people in care homes. Just my schedule was packed and it was awesome. And I really got to get, I think, a full taste of priestly ministry and worked really close with my pastor. He was really good about giving me each week a time to meet and process, almost every night hanging out, talking about the day, giving me tips, feedback. And it was really, I think, I've been in seminary a long time, learning all these skills, learning all this theology, and to be able to really go out there and put it into practice and get a taste of priesthood before ordination was extremely helpful. I think it confirmed my vocation. I think it, yeah, confirmed my desire for ministry. And along with that, just gave me a lot of good, real ministerial experience. So.
That's beautiful. Well, thanks very much for sharing. And yeah, maybe a little aside for those of you who like to watch the show Coming Home on EWTN. Your pastor was recently on that in terms of telling his conversion story from having his parents were.
His parents were Hare Krishna, which is kind of a Hindu sect. And his name, Father Michael, that was not his name when he was, well, certainly not Father, but Michael was not his name when he was born. I'm forgetting he had a long kind of Indian name. And Well, I would just encourage you to go check out that show. But
so Father Michael Nixon was recently on Coming Home. You can check that out at EWTN. So Heath, tell us your story, certainly of your great experience. I think at a place you already knew pretty well.
I did know it very well. So I had just a beautiful year in Tallahassee, Florida, at actually the parish where I experienced my reconversion, the Father's Voice. I was there. I was at the Co-Cathedral of St. Thomas More in Tallahassee, Florida. Because we're such a long diocese, we have the very long name of our diocese as well. We both have a cathedral in Pensacola and a co-cathedral in Tallahassee. And it's an incredible parish to be at because you see so much. It's in a downtown area. We have a lot of folks in government. It's in an incredibly poor neighborhood. So we have a lot of the homeless or just the poor. And so we do a lot of outreach with them, spend life with them. They're our neighbors. And I saw them often. Yeah, but then we also are right next to a street away from the campus of Florida State University. And so it is a beautiful parish to be at. And it's an incredible experience. And yes, it's very surreal for me being back. I remember my first week, they put my face on the bulletin. And I thought, well, I'm really doing this. I'm really becoming a priest. This is incredible. So it's amazing how God works.
And what were some of the experiences, and how did that time strengthen, confirm, and give you greater joy as you prepare for priesthood?
Absolutely. A lot of what I did was teaching, preaching, but most of all being with the people. And there's this sense where we hear about Christ as like the bridegroom and the church's bride. Certainly, priests are friends of the bridegroom, but there's a particular way we're being configured to Christ. That's why we call the stage that we're in configuration. And so seeing the people of God, I don't know if y'all know this who are listening, you are deeply beautiful, and it is incredible to be with you, to like see the holiness, the hunger for God in people. I saw it in our parishioners who are families. I saw it in, believe it or not, people in government also really want God. They're seeking for holiness too. And I saw it in our students, which is incredibly hope-filled. That was especially poignant for me because I remember being in those shoes, being a student at this very secular college campus, a party school, if you will, and still just wanting God so much. Just seeing that in the people now, that there's this great tradition of the church, like we'll, you know, continue. There's this great hope. And so that was infectious and incredible. And so I would say for me, what it gets me excited, like, wow, this is a worthwhile life. This is a life worth living. The people of God are worth it. And the way Jesus wants to speak into that with, like, my own personal prayer throughout the whole year, it's incredibly energizing. And, it was a very exciting year.
No, that's great. And something to make me think about is, listeners, if they're listening to this show, is because you all care about vocations. And really, our experience here has been that so many of the men who come to us are coming from experiences like the two of you had, from being at a college campus and having the experience of good campus ministry that has helped you either grow in the faith or come back to the faith, or in some cases convert to the faith. And that's been true for so many of our men here, and just an encouragement for those who have children and grandchildren in college is really, I think it's important to tell them to remember to go to Sunday Mass. That's been a huge thing for me, but also specifically try to connect them to a good campus ministry program. That's just huge. And maybe just a little aside, Heath, since I know you've had experience even before, maybe just touch on this. You had the experience of being involved in St. Paul Outreach, which was a very important campus ministry program. And now you were working on a campus in a very different sense. What were the things that you took from campus ministry that was helpful? And how does it change as you're now a man on the cusp of diaconate and priesthood?
Yeah, great question. Thank you, Father. Yeah, so after my time...
I get paid to ask
that. After my time at Florida State, I felt the call. It's yeah, God works in baby steps with us. So I don't know if I've been ready to jump into seminary immediately, but I became a college missionary. So I worked on the campus of the University of Minnesota and for 2 years, and I was a missionary to college students. So small groups, Bible studies, walking with people in whether they're burgeoning faith life or in their continued wanting to give their life to God. And that was an incredible experience, and I loved it. And yes, I think that propelled me into going, the confidence to go into seminary to give God a shot, to say. But then I was praying at the beginning of this year. So we actually have a group that's very well known in the church world, Focus, which is a great college ministry, incredible. Our Focus missionaries tirelessly working Bible studies and all of the like. So I grew in a ton of respect for their ministry. But for me, I had a moment beginning of the year. I was in my holy hour, and I just was asking the Father, like, Father, well, what? I have all these skills. I have all these gifts, and I know you're at work in that. You're at work in everything. But what do you actually want me to do this year? How do you want me to be, not just fall back on what I know of being a missionary, but how do you want me to be a man being configured towards the priesthood? And I just felt a very clear sense of, like, yes, I don't want you to just go revert to this missionary mode, which certainly the church is on mission. We exist to evangelize, but you do it in a particular way. Everyone evangelizes in all these ways. I'm getting into some of my mission mindset right now. But there's peer evangelization, so student to student, very powerful. And then there's this whole thing of being a missionary, which I like experienced intimately, where you're sort of this older brother figure. And that's got a lot of power, that you're in the lives and people look to you like, oh, this is a way I could be. You're not too far removed from the college experience. But then there's another level where I saw when a priest or a religious sister spoken to the life of a student or anyone in that setting. I mean, the power that is present in holy orders or religious life, it's just different. So I felt God having an invitation to me, Heath, be that. Be who I formed you to be in these last years in seminary. And so speak about your vocation. Speak what I've done in your life. Yes, use all the skills you learn to ask good questions as a missionary, to walk with, just be in the presence of these students. But speaking to this thing of vocation, like, answer the questions that you've learned in seminary about theology, about all these other things, but do it in a personal way, this accompaniment that is so like what we're learning about here in seminary. So I would say that would sort of...
Terrific.
Yeah.
And Matthias, I'm passing it back to you, just sure. Thinking about your experience and what I hear from in terms of what Heath was saying is that growth in shifting from being brother to husband and father, mm-hmm. bridegroom and father in that role, and how has pastor year helped you in terms of preparing for it? And the two of you will have the class on holy orders with me in a couple of months, and so I look forward to that. So we'll even get more deeper into the theology, but just at a personal level, in terms of taking on that role, preparing to be called father, how has that been for you?
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. Something that comes to mind from pastoral year was this shift where I became a little bit of an authority figure at the parish without asking for it. And it was a bit jarring when I first showed up, but people referred to me as baby priest when they come to me with these questions about theology, about what they should do in their personal lives, about their prayer life. And at first I was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to answer any of these questions. I don't feel like I have the competence to. And I answered them prudently. I didn't want to tell people this is how you need to live your life. But I began to really step into the role of, oh, actually, like, I am going to be a father. I have been trained. I have a lot of experience and knowledge, and I can be of help here. And I'm not just a brother, like you said. I'm stepping into that role as father soon. And that was difficult but powerful, and something I'm starting to get really excited about as well. I think about my own, this is something I've been reflecting on coming up to ordination. I think a lot of people, myself included, ask this question: how do I know if I'm growing in prayer? How do I know if I'm growing in the spiritual life, if I'm being more configured to Christ? And one of the ways, a very practical way, I think, is we look, am I growing in the virtues of faith, hope, and love? And I've been reflecting on that with these ministerial experiences, and I've really found the Lord has helped me to grow in love, especially for people where, in the past, it was very easy for me to just look at a parish and say, oh, I love all these people. But it was kind of a detached, abstract, oh, because I like Jesus, I love everybody. But in the parish, I really found, no, I like really care about all these people. And so I had the experience, I had the pastoral year, and I went away and did a hospital chaplaincy for the summer. And then I was preparing to come back to seminary, and I decided, you know, I'm going to stop by the parish for a weekend just to check in on everybody. And I felt that shift that I was talking about, where I came back and I was like, oh my gosh, how's your father doing? You know, how's that thing in prayer that you were telling me about a few months ago? How's that grown? Oh my gosh, so good to see you. And just really this deep love and care that I've grown in for people, and especially at that parish, has been a real, I think, confirmation of my vocation.
That's beautiful to hear from both of you. And it is, a couple of images come to mind. I remember when I became pastor of my home parish in West Palm Beach back in 1999, a friend of my mom's said to me, she used an expression in Spanish which translates to, she said after a few months, thank God she didn't say it the first day, I was only 7 years ordained at the time, and it was a big parish, and she said to me, she was congratulating me and said, I thought the suit was going to be too big for you. that time I was really big, so no suit would have been too big for me, but it's like, and I think that sense, and one thing that happens in pastor is kind of trying on the suit. And it's beautiful to hear how you guys have felt yourselves growing into it. And also that sense of loving people individually. Mm-hmm. Remind me of a comic strip from many years ago. Linus in Peanuts is quoting the scripture passage where we're called to love all people. He says, I don't have any trouble loving all mankind. It's people I can't stand. And we need to love people. We need to love the people who are in front of us. And that's just a beautiful thing to hear you both describe. And also, and finally, in terms of connecting to that love of the bride, there's a passage from Pope Pius XII in his encyclical on the mystical body of Christ from the 1940s, where I paraphrase what he says. We have to love the church as she is, not as we want her to be. Like, if we have to love the bride, for those of you who are married, you love each other, and especially as you've gotten older, you got maybe some wrinkles and some warts. We've got to love the bride as she is, and not as we wish she would be. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really, really important. And Matthias, as you move forward, it's just beautiful to hear you speak with confidence. And maybe what would you say is, if there's something that's helped you to come to that confidence, how has God helped you to come to that point?
That's a great question, and something I've been really reflecting on recently in my prayer. I think I would say I'm not a very confident person by nature. It's been one of the things that I've worked on in seminary, and I think God has always been there in my prayer, saying to me, "I love you, Matthias. You can do this. I'm going to help you do this." And it was very difficult for me to hear that and to accept that. And that's very interesting that you asked that question, because it has been very much on my mind in prayer recently. And I think in pastoral year and this past summer as a chaplain, when I would go to prayer and ask the Father to talk to me and speak to me, he would say those kind of things to me. And I've been for so long being self-deprecating and putting myself down and saying, no, I can't do it. I've finally kind of come to a place where I realize it's just not working for me. It's not making me happy. It's not helping me to grow. And I'm trying now to choose to listen to the Father's voice and to look on my experiences from pastoral year, from chaplaincy, and to look at them as they are, where I actually have done great things. I am loved by people and by the Lord. I can do this. I can rely on the Lord. And that's just really boosted my confidence, helped me to understand the Father's love for me, and then be able to love others better, understanding that.
Heath has always been confident, so I'm not going to ask him that question. You had a particular experience, and I doubted whether or not to ask you about it, but when you mentioned that you've been at the University of Minnesota, that made the connection as well with recent events in Minneapolis at Annunciation Catholic School, that the terrible shooting and the children who lost their lives. And you were present in Tallahassee the day of the shootings on campus and certainly had a key role. Your fatherhood played out in a particular way, helping to protect the people there. And I believe it was your... Was it your birthday that day? Or
we were doing a surprise birthday party for me at the rectory.
So let me just share, not getting into a lot of details, but share a little bit how that day helped you into growing into fatherhood.
Absolutely.
And I'm totally surprised about asking him this question.
Yeah, so. It was a hard day. There's the church and the priest here at seminary, y'all often talk about the reality of fatherhood and the priesthood. And there's something, I think, in our hearts, like a good priest is someone who would make a good husband and a father. And it's certainly a sacrifice to lay that down for the church. The church is beautiful, as I've mentioned. All of you are beautiful. But there's this reality there's something in our hearts, just as human beings, especially as men and men who want to become priests, give their lives to Jesus, where I want to be a father in those like most intimate and hardest of moments. All of you who have families know you can remember moments in your life where you had to drop everything. Someone's at the hospital, someone's in need, a child is crying in the middle of the night. And so for me that day, you have a plan of what's going on. You have a plan of, okay, this is what's happening today. And then that's interrupted by this tragic thing. And most especially your children, and parents, you know this more intimately than some ways I ever will, but children crying out and they're scared and they're wondering at a time like this, well, where can God be? Where can God be? And so we had students run from the campus. I talked about the location of our parish. We're right across the street from the Union where the tragedy at Florida State took place. And so they ran across the street. And one of our priests, which is very cool to see, one of the fathers who I'll soon be brothers with, him calling them over and then opening up the church. And so I remember I was in a meeting and with our pastor and our music minister said, hey, there's been a shooting. And we instantly didn't say a word. We knew exactly. We went to the church, went and started going to see the people, gathering more people from outside, bringing them into our church, locking the other doors so that they're safe. But then there was the hard work of being with them, talking with them, sitting with them in their tears, giving them water, just anything we could do to care for these people, the other people of God, people not even, like people who are non-believers and yet are sheltering in a church and being spoken to by priests of Jesus Christ and by the hands and feet of Jesus, the people that work at our church, parishioners. And yeah, it was that moment of fatherhood, being woken up in the middle of the night. My children like need me, and I need to be there for them, especially this most difficult of moments. I think that's where fatherhood and motherhood, for those of you who are mothers, becomes real. And so that was an experience like my heart was just burning. Like, how could I not be there for them in this most trying of times?
And certainly you were, and I thank God for that. And it's been good, so good to see you both grow so much. And thank you for sharing. I think your experience you're sharing is going to be a beautiful thing for our listeners to hear. And if you get the blessing of having a seminarian on pastor year, welcome them and help them to grow in confidence, to grow in fatherhood, to grow to love the bride. And we thank you, all of you, so much for your prayers for us, for your support of what we do here at Twin Cities Regional Seminary, and hope you have a blessed month. And God bless you, and we'll see you next month on Vocation Station.